You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, you can find out a lot about a neighborhood's overall health and wealth by how much shade it has. We'll find out how decisions about city planning and trees can affect our health. Now, statistics about the impact and severity of the coronavirus pandemic in Wisconsin have generally been improving since the spring, but a lot of those metrics have been ticking back up lately. The daily number and 7-day rolling average of new confirmed cases, hospitalizations, still nowhere close to where we were at the height of the pandemic. But we also know vaccinations have slowed and a new variant is spreading quickly around the country, leading to new outbreaks, especially in areas with low vaccination rates. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have when you see cases rising again? What do things look like where you live? Are people still wearing masks or thinking about wearing them again? Are things feeling pretty much like normal to you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Jeff Potthoff is an emergency physician and UW Health's chief quality officer. Dr. Potthoff, welcome back to the show.
Good to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
As you look at these numbers inching up in Wisconsin and hotspots, pretty much, I guess, in some places around the country, what's on your mind?
You know, we'd rather not see these numbers increasing. The good news right now is that we're starting from a much lower baseline. But if we continue on this trajectory, we could have hot spots, you know, both here in places in Wisconsin, particularly those that are under vaccinated. But, you know, around the country, that could happen. I don't think we'll see the same problem we had last fall with hospitals nearly overwhelmed, just because we do have pretty good vaccination. Especially amongst those most vulnerable populations. But I think the last thing any of us wants to see this far in the pandemic are the graphs going up again.
What has been working, do you think, in terms of keeping control of the pandemic around Wisconsin? What's some of the best news you've seen in our efforts to keep that chart from moving up again?
You know, a lot of it is vaccination. We see lower case numbers in areas where vaccinations are high. Even when we look across the country, when we look at, you know, number of cases per 100,000 people and then compare that to the percent of the population that state that's vaccinated, there's a direct correlation. Those states with high vaccination rates are seeing less cases. Those states with less vaccination are seeing more cases. That really is the ticket to getting this pandemic under control.
A lot of concern about this Delta variant of COVID-19, a new twist on the virus. Why does this have us even more worried than the original strain?
You know, this isn't the first variant that we've seen, but this is far and away the strongest variant. And there's a few reasons that we don't like the Delta variant. One, it is much, much more contagious. So it takes very little in the way of gaps and mitigation efforts or kind of cheating on the rules to find yourself infected. And that's a problem. You know, the other thing that we see, maybe not as big of a deal, is a bit less effectiveness of our vaccines for any symptoms. So we're going to see more breakthrough cases of COVID-19 in people who are vaccinated. The good news is their symptoms are going to be mild. They're not going to end up in the hospital. They're not going to die from COVID. But, you know, it's more contagious. And because we were doing well, we pulled away a lot of our mitigation strategies. There's not much in the way of masking right now. There's not much in the way of distancing, and that is supposed to be for those who are vaccinated. But I think we all know the unvaccinated have also taken off their masks. They've also mingled. So now you have a situation where you have unvaccinated people without masks in close proximity to other unvaccinated people with a Delta strain that is much more contagious. That's why you're seeing cases go up.
Talking to Dr. Jeff Potthoff, emergency physician and UW Health's chief quality officer, looking at the latest news on COVID-19. Some outbreaks, especially in areas with very low vaccination rates around the country. Numbers inching up in Wisconsin in terms of cases and hospitalizations. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions for the doctor, with your reports on what you're seeing in your community when it comes to vaccination rates, mask wearing, and more. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Potthoff, people hear about, okay, people with the vaccine sometimes getting a case of COVID-19 and maybe thinking, well, then why do I want the vaccine? but I keep seeing numbers from states or from hospitals, something like, yeah, of all our hospitalized COVID-19 patients, you know, 97% unvaccinated. We see this, it seems like, again and again. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even higher numbers than 97, close to 99.5% of people in hospitals with COVID right now are unvaccinated. You know, you can almost go to Vegas and put a bet that if you see someone that you need to admit to the hospital with COVID, they're unvaccinated. You know, the real benefit of vaccination is that prevention of severe disease and death. Now, it's great if I get a vaccine and I have no symptoms at all. That's awesome. Pfizer gives us that at about 94%. Moderna similar, Johnson & Johnson just a little bit less. But, you know, the take it to the bank is, do I get so sick that I need to go to a hospital? I don't think anyone wants to do that. And certainly no one wants to die. That's what the vaccine gives you. You don't have that protection if you're unvaccinated.
You mentioned three vaccine names. I know you have your eye on another one in the pipeline, Novavax. What do we know about that?
Yep. Novavax uses a little bit different technology. I think, you know, one of the reasons Novavax might be preferred by some people is it doesn't have anything to do with some of those genetic materials that these other vaccines use. It introduces a protein. You know, I think it would be unlikely or less likely that we would see emergency use authorization in the near future for Novavax. They may even, the FDA may even require full authorization. But where Novavax comes into play is at some point we're likely to need a booster. And if that's the case, we've got a couple hundred million people that need a shot. Having another vaccine available will make us able to get folks their booster dose quite a bit quicker than with just the three vaccines we have right now.
Now, a big concern, as you mentioned, about the unvaccinated population. As we know, if you're 12 and under, you can't get the vaccines right now. The upside, kids generally are less vulnerable, though, to COVID, or they have been, at least with all the variants so far. A big question now is, do we have kids mask up in places like schools? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, if you would have asked me this back in May, early June, when cases were really low, Delta variant wasn't really anything that we are talking about. You know, I still think I would have said, hey, masking for kids, especially the K through six, that age group that isn't going to be able to be vaccinated before school starts, probably a good idea. But now with Delta variant and what we're learning about it, it's a slam dunk. We have to have those unvaccinated kids masked for the start of the school year until we can get vaccines to them. And you've seen this with the CDC recommending it, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommending it. And one thing that I've seen that I don't like about this Delta variant is there's a study group in the United Kingdom. I think they're called the REACT group. And they look at cases. And what they saw at the end of May into June, as Delta variant became 90% of their cases, they saw a five-fold increase in the number of kids that were testing positive between the age of 5 and 24. Now, that could be because older folks are vaccinated at a higher rate, but it lends some concern that Delta may be better at infecting kids. And then you throw on reports from the South with more kids in ICUs. I'm just not sure we want to take that chance with our kids until we understand this variant a little bit better.
We'll be talking more about this specific issue, kids masking in schools, Monday at this time on Central Time. Dr. Potthoff, let's talk about grown-ups and masks. If there's somebody out there unvaccinated, first of all, when do you suggest, apart from suggesting that maybe they get vaccinated, when would you suggest that those unvaccinated grown-ups wear masks still?
Yeah, so if you're unvaccinated right now, the really important time to wear a mask is if you're indoors and you're close to other people. It's unlikely you'll know who's vaccinated and who's not vaccinated. If you're indoors, you don't have that air movement. There is risk there, especially with Delta. You're going to be able to catch that disease much quicker. Now, outdoors in general, pretty safe in most things that we do outdoors. But, you know, we have seen instances where, you know, like the Deer District, people outside, but instead of measuring social distancing in feet, we're measuring it in inches. And if you're going to go to an event where you're going to be shoulder to shoulder with other people outside and you're not vaccinated, best to throw on a mask.
How about vaccinated grownups? I take the bus to work, and federal law says I got to wear a mask. So that's easy. I'll do that. Where else would adults want to wear masks if they're vaccinated? Or are there specific categories of people maybe with particular risks that might still think about wearing masks?
Yeah, so this is a really good question. So those folks who are immunocompromised, and by that I mean their immune systems don't work that well. Maybe they're currently undergoing chemotherapy. They've had an organ transplant. They're on medications that suppress their immune system. The data on the vaccines in those folks isn't as good as the general population. Those folks, when they're in crowded places, should probably be masked. You know, if we're vaccinated, but we are in an area where people are very vulnerable, and the classic example here is hospitals with people who are sick, who are frail, we want to be masked because those folks aren't going to have as much of a reserve if we get them infected, if we expose them to a dose of virus, so we stay masked there. Now, the interesting question coming up, and you've seen this in Los Angeles County with Delta variant, is we know that people who have Delta variant have a lot more vaccine in their nasal pharynx. We know that for normal COVID, people who are vaccinated have very low levels of vaccine in their nasal pharynx. That's why the mask mandates went away.
Low levels of virus in their nasal pharynx?
Yep.
Okay.
A level of the virus that causes COVID in their nasal pharynx. So in their nose, I'm using doctor words, unfortunately, but in their nose. Delta people, people with Delta variant COVID-19 will have higher levels. We've seen that. What we don't know is vaccinated people with Delta variant that's growing in their nose, is the concentration high enough where they actually pose a risk to the unvaccinated if they're not masked? I think until we see that answer, that's where you're seeing Los Angeles County and places like that recommending even vaccinated people be masked.
We're talking to Dr. Jeff Potthoff, Chief Quality Officer for UW Health, looking at some of the latest COVID-19 numbers in Wisconsin and around the country, what it all means for the future of the pandemic in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are the vaccination rates in your community? Are people still wearing masks where you are? Do you have a question for our guest doctor about what's going on with this disease, what the future might look like? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now about rising COVID-19 cases in Wisconsin, going up a little over the last couple of weeks. Dr. Jeff Potthoff was with us, emergency physician and chief quality officer at UW Health. And you could join in with your questions, your comments at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Vicki is with us in Madison. Vicki, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Vicki?
I just wanted to know, if you actually had COVID, don't you have as much of an immunity as if you get the shot?
Oh, great question, Vicki. And that's, I think, a big open question, Dr. Potthoff, how much immunity we have if we've had COVID as compared to the vaccines.
Yeah, this is actually a great question. So the best data that we have is folks who've already experienced COVID-19, they do generate some immunity. Their immunity is likely not as long-lasting as immunity that you get from the vaccine. So about 6 months, maybe a little bit more of immunity from natural infection. Certainly we get more longer-lasting immunity from the vaccines. But here's the important point. Some of these variants that we've seen, Delta, South African, certainly the Brazilian variant, they have features in their mutation that allows them to escape the immunity that you get from natural infection. So if we didn't have variants around, you could make a pretty strong argument that natural immunity have you protected at least for 6 months. But with these variants, there's a strong recommendation to get the vaccine because it offers much better protection against these variants that have been defeating natural immunity.
Vicki, thanks a lot for that call and question at 800-642-1234. Dr. Potthoff, do you have thoughts on getting more people vaccinated? Early on, it was a supply question and a logistics question with an eager line of people waiting. They've all gotten their vaccines now, a lot of them, but some people either don't want it, or some people, I've been reading, there are still access problems. It might be 5 miles away and you don't have a car, or you can't get the time off work or the childcare for if you get the sick side effects after. What to you seems like the biggest priority for getting more people vaccinated?
You know, there really are three things. So one is access. There are some people who, just can't conveniently get it. They may not necessarily have the same urgency to get it. And I see this when I work in the emergency department. I ask people, hey, do you have that COVID vaccine? They're like, nah, I haven't had time yet. I'm like, can I sign you up for it right now? And they're like, well, if you can do that, sure. So there's the ease of access that comes into it. I think there are still people that are worried about the safety of the vaccines. We've been talking about that for a good many number of months now. These vaccines are very, very safe. The risk of the vaccine is tiny compared to the risk of COVID. But I still meet people who are, hey, you know, I heard it could make me infertile. I heard that it could mess up my immune system. There's genetic material there. It can alter my DNA. We still hear that. And then I think we have a group of people who are just philosophically opposed to vaccines. And for those folks, we really got to get talking to them. Can they talk to their doctor? Can they talk to someone in their community? Really understand, you know, what that hesitancy is. And if you are one of those people, talk to folks in your community that were vaccinated. Ask them what that experience is like. The reason that we all want folks vaccinated is because we want people to be safe. There really is no other motive there. I think for that last group, though, we have our work cut out for us.
And that second group, just to clarify, those statements you said that you're hearing from people are incorrect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The vaccines are incredibly safe, but there is a litany of misinformation about side effects or adverse events that really just don't exist with these vaccines.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Randy is with us in Ripon. Randy, hello.
Hi. I've had my shot, but what I wanted to bring up is a three friends that contracted it last fall, and they're all dealing with long-term effects. One of them told me he can only maybe work 3 hours a day, and that's it. And they contracted it last fall, and I know some people have had it that hardly had any effect, but it seems like it's a roll of the dice, with this. And I just wanted to bring up the long-term effect from having this.
Randy, thanks a lot for the call. Dr. Potthoff, I think we focus a lot on the number of deaths because of COVID. Randy pointing out that at least for some people who have had it, he says they're still feeling the effect, 9 months later?
And Randy is making such an important point here because we often think in this binary nature, I get the disease and I do fine, or I get the disease and I die. And it's much more complicated than that. And Randy is absolutely correct. We are seeing a large number of people who get COVID and then they have these persistent symptoms that aren't just irritating, they're debilitating. They can't do the things they love to do. They can't work. They can't make an income. And, the hardest part for me as a physician is these folks come to me and I see them in the ED and they say, hey, doc, this is really rough. Like, I didn't think it was going to be like this. When is this going to get better? And right now, we just don't know. We don't have enough data. There are people who have had months and months of symptoms that just aren't going away. So, for those who are kind of calculating, do I want to take my chance with COVID or do I want to take my chance with a vaccine? It's not just about life and death. It's about could your life be impacted in such a significant way that daily life is very different for you after that infection.
Thanks for that call, Randy. And Dr. Potthoff, I had seen early on with vaccines anecdotal stuff, this is not a slam dunk, but anecdotal things where people were saying, I had long haul COVID, it got better after the vaccine. That was early days. Has there been research to back that up, or was that just kind of fluky early on?
Not yet. I'd love to say that long haul goes away with vaccines because I probably could get some more folks vaccinated, but I can't say that we've got really good data that suggests that that's a strong correlation, that there's vaccines that take away long haul COVID symptoms.
Let's go back to our callers now. Sherry is with us in Elkhorn. Sherry, hi.
Hi. I wondered if I had the shots. I don't know if I ever had COVID. I was working all through this, obviously wearing a mask. But are the antibodies different if you've had the disease as opposed to the shots?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, this is a good question, and we hear it every once in a while. And what it really boils down to is the test that you're getting for antibodies. There's lots of different manufacturers. It does seem like there is actually a lot of cross-reactivity with antibody tests. There are some specific tests that can be performed at special labs that look specifically at the antibody that's created by a vaccine. But it would be hard to know for certain if you, at this point, after being vaccinated, got an antibody test, whether that antibody test is telling you that you got the vaccine or telling you that you had natural COVID infection.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Samuel now in Shawano. Samuel, hi.
Hi, good afternoon, doctor. I have two questions and a comment. First question is, what's the minimum critical dose required to be infected by these variants? Two, right now, our vaccines are all trained to deal with the spike protein getting through the ACE2 receptor. What happens if this thing mutates to inject through some other route? Has anybody looked at that? And then third, people talk about long COVID. And the problem with long COVID is that this virus attacks epithelial cells. And so the epithelial cells exist all around the body. And people wonder, why am I getting this problem in these different parts of my body? Well, that's why. Would you like to comment and make some good comments on this? Thank you very much.
A lot there, Samuel, with not too much time left, Dr. Botoff. Go with it where you want to.
Let me see if I can unpack that. So as far as the dose goes, instead of like total viral particles, we usually look at time-based. So for natural COVID, if you were in close proximity for someone for about 15 minutes, that was enough time to get infected. With Delta variant having 1,000 times greater concentration of virus, that 15 minutes isn't going to hold anymore. It's going to be less than that, but we don't know what that number is. I forget the second question. Do you remember?
There was the affecting different parts of the body.
Yep. And that one is true. It affects a lot of different of our tissues have that ACE receptor. And that's why you can see long effects. What the caller said is absolutely true in that regard.
And then third was the spike protein being the key. Yeah. Now, what if it finds another way to get into our cells?
Yeah, and it's not even so much finding another way to get into our cells. What will happen, and this is why vaccinated people should care about unvaccinated people getting infected, is the virus will mutate and it will change its spike protein so that our vaccines are no longer effective and it can infect our cells. And then we all need a new vaccine. So I think some of us are like, you know what, if you're unvaccinated, that's on you. You know, you take your chances. Unfortunately, life's not that simple with COVID. It could actually affect all of us who are vaccinated.
Dr. Potthoff, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Anytime.
Dr. Jeff Potthoff is an emergency physician and UW Health Chief Quality Officer. We talked to him today about what to make of rising numbers of new COVID-19 cases in Wisconsin and more on the state of the pandemic in the Badger State and around the country.